This is Omni's radio program,
the voice of the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea and me.
Tune in to hear news on the peacekeeping process, HIV/AIDS, Mine Action and Omni's humanitarian work and more.
Tune in to 17,670 kHz from 9 to 10 GMT every Sundays and Tuesdays from 10:30 to 11:30 GMT on 17,565 kHz.
We also had an Omni's website, www.omnionline.org, and click the radio button. You can also visit www.un.org/radio and click on the radio stations in United Nations peacekeeping stations.
Welcome to this edition of ANMI Radio, the voice of the United Nations mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea. I am Stella Vuzo, and first the main highlights. On this week's program, we will visit the banks of the Jaja River in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, where ANMI staff have planted some 350 trees to help restore the environment. We will also look at the repatriation of more than 400 returnees to Ethiopia and Eritrea and report on this week's mission demining activities. Forests are essential to the health of our planet. They convert carbon dioxide to oxygen, stabilize our soil and water sources, and provide a home to wildlife and other species. They are also a leading source of construction materials and fuel in Ethiopia and many other countries. To preserve nature's balance, reforestation is essential. We should aim to replace the trees we cut and burn. The loss of natural forests contributes more to global emissions each year than exhaust from the world's transportation sector. Putting the brakes on deforestation is a highly cost-effective way of reducing toxic emissions that destroy the Earth's protective ozone layer. In August last year, ANMI staff joined members of the MISA gym and worked from the Nifa Silv Laptop sub-city to plant about 350 trees along the Jaja River in Addis Ababa. The trees were planted 9 months ago to replace 8 large trees that had been chopped down because they were blocking a microwave communication link between ANMI's headquarters and the offices of the Economic Commission for Africa. The tree planting last year is still fresh in the mind of Mr. Tsegaye Gebremariam, the Nifa Silk Lafto Sub-City Environmental Protection Team Leader.
Last year, ANMI asked us for a place to plant the trees. We were happy to identify a place and to help with the planting. The area around the Jaja River in Gabale 18 is now greener and more beautiful than ever.
Worldwide, the loss of forests continues at an alarming rate. In the past decade, about 130 million hectares of trees were lost. To recover an equivalent area of deforested land would require the planting of about 14 billion trees every year for the next 10 years. To achieve this, every man, woman, and child on the planet would have to plant and care for at least 2 new trees each year. In the Nifa Silk Lafto Sub-City, the Environmental Protection Team expert, Mr. Mesfin Miyanhil, says that for every tree cut, for one reason or another, we should plant 5 to replace them. He notes that ANMI far exceeded that target.
ANMI requested for some trees to be cut down because they were causing some communication barriers. According to the Environmental Protection Agreement, for every tree cut, there should be 5 replacements for it. We decided to plant trees in replacement for those cut down. With the coordination of ANMI and our office, we planted 350 saplings. The saplings are mostly salignas, a shade tree. The cost of the saplings and the labor to plant them was covered by ANMI. The Sub-City Environmental Protection Unit provided the land and coordinated the work.
From one end to the other, this stretch of the river Kebele 18 is now totally green. The grass is green, the trees are green, and the water that flows down the Jaja River is much clearer. It used to be horrible, says Mr. Deriba Degafa, a resident who has lived in the area for much of his life.
I have been living in this area for 22 years. At first, this area was deserted. There was nothing. The area was covered in dust. It was not attractive. But now, when we go out and see the area, it is attractive. In my spare time, I like to go out and sit in the shade with my friends. Just seeing the green makes us feel happy.
Another resident, Mr. Tafese Bedada, is also happy. The tree planting has changed his surroundings.
I have been living in this area for 30 years. The things we see around us here are beautiful. The area is becoming cleaner.
Mr. Tsegaye, the NIFA Silk Lafto Sub-City Environmental Protection Team Leader, believes that environmental protection should be the responsibility of everyone. He said he appreciates ANMI's tree planting efforts activity and that his office will do everything it can to ensure the environment is kept clean and healthy. Back to Mr. Tsegaye.
So for the future, our door is still open, because environmental protection is not the responsibility of only one person or one organization or one office. If we want to develop our land, we should all be involved in it.
Before we move on to the next part of our program, we will hear how the United Nations is working to protect the global environment.
60 ways the United Nations makes a difference. Protecting the environment.
The United Nations is working to solve global environmental problems.
Protecting the environment.
As an international forum for building consensus and negotiating agreements, the UN is tackling global problems like climate change, ozone layer depletion, toxic waste, loss of forests and species, air and water pollution.
Protecting the environment.
Unless environmental problems are addressed, markets and economies will not be sustainable in the long term. Environmental losses are depleting the natural capital on which growth and human survival are based. Protecting the environment. This is one of the 60 ways the UN makes a difference.
$191 million people were living outside their countries of birth in 2005. That's about 3% of the world's population. According to an international migration report released by the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs in 2006, about 60% of those who have migrated to more developed countries have left their countries of origin for economic reasons. Armed conflicts are another cause of population movements. The Ethiopia-Eritrea border war of 1998 is an example. The conflict displaced and separated many families in both countries. In June 2000, the International Committee of the Red Cross took up the task of repatriating those who wished to return to their countries of origin. Over the past 7 years, the International Committee for the Red Cross has conducted at least 4 repatriations of Ethiopians and Eritreans a year. ANMI's role through its Human Rights Office has mainly been that of an observer of the repatriation process, which must follow the rules and principles of the international humanitarian law. The most recent repatriation between Ethiopia and Eritrea took place on the 27th of April at the Mereb River Bridge in Sector Center. The crossing point is located between the two towns of Adikwala in Eritrea and Rama in Ethiopia. It was at this point that returnees in the care of the Ethiopian and Eritrean authorities met the neutral and independent intermediary delegates of the International Committee of the Red Cross who were in Eritrea and Ethiopia for the relocation. ANMI's human rights officer, Mr. Sonny Onyegbula, was at the Mereb Bridge. I asked him what happened there.
The marriage bridge process is just a formal, you know, handover coordinated by ICLC, whereby Ethiopian nationals who are in Eritrea are handed over, you know, to Ethiopian officials, while Eritreans who are in Ethiopia are handed over to Eritrean officials. So it's actually coordinated by ICLC. And we as only human rights officers have very little part to play. But after that formal handover, we now come here to, you know, do the interviews. The Ethiopians who were in Eritrea, who have now been repatriated, you know, just to ask them general questions regarding to human rights issues. Those are confidential interviews. Thereafter, we make our reports and send to the appropriate authorities.
How many people were repatriated?
About 435 Ethiopian nationals who have been living in Eritrea. Most of them actually born in Eritrea.
Were there many families around there?
Yeah, some came in families. At least those Ethiopians living in Eritrea who were repatriated back to Ethiopia.
Are these repatriations routine?
Yes, they are routine. There are about four repatriations are usually held in a year. The first one was in early February. Now we have the second one now. We expect another repatriation maybe around August, then another one before the end of the year.
What motivates people to move?
Various reasons. Some of them, you know, to rejoin their family who are back in their country. Some of them are old. Some of them are young children, so there are various reasons.
What was the mood of the people who are being repatriated, for instance? Were they excited at the prospect of going to a new home?
Yeah, the general mood is anxiety. Some of them are excited, you know, about the prospect, especially the young ones, of, you know, going to a country, you know, that is new to them. You know, some of them are anxious about getting jobs. Like some of them, they ask us, whether we are able to help them get jobs, and whether they are receiving compensations.
Where were these people living before they moved?
Most of them were living in Asmara. Some of them still have families, you know, in Eritrea.
And where will these people settle now, and how much assistance will they get to establish themselves in their new homes?
Yeah, I think where they resettle is actually decided by them. They choose where they have families, and then where they would like to go. Most of the people we interviewed, some of them are going to Addis Ababa, some to Mekele, some to Adigrat, some to their villages. It's actually their choice. The Ethiopian government usually gives them some money to help them, you know, start up life in their new country.
Do you remain in contact with those who have been repatriated over the years?
Yeah, some of them, especially those with some special cases, those with concern, those who do not know where they are. You know, families are, we assist them, you know, through ICRC. We get back to ICRC with, you know, some of the information like tracing their families. We try to, as long as possible, you know, maintain contact with some of the vulnerable people to see to their welfare.
What role does ANMI play in the repatriation exercise?
Our role as the Human Rights Office is just to sit, interview them, find about their welfare, how they process, you know, was done, whether they conform with, you know, the normal human rights standards, just in line with our mandate.
Sonny Onyekbula from the ANMI's Human Rights Office with that information on the repatriation of returnees in Ethiopia and Eritrea. Coming up is this week's update on ANMI's demining activities in the temporary security zone and areas adjacent to it.
Demining.
This week, the route clearance team of the Mine Action Coordination Center continued to verify mine threats. Among the areas affected were riverbeds and roads in the Zalambesa area in Sector Center. The integrated demining capacity teams also continued their work in the Egri Merkel minefield in Serena, Sector Center within the temporary security zone. The teams cleared 25 kilometers of road and an area of almost 24,000 square meters. The route verification team also deployed to Sector West, where they verified an area of approximately 167 kilometers. The Mine Action Coordination Center's Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team conducted reconnaissance of reported unexploded ordnance in the Serena area. The Explosive Ordnance Disposal Team and the Quality Assurance Team also completed the construction accreditation sites. At the same time, the two mine risk education teams deployed to Sector West, where they provided mine risk education to 1,308 people. The Force Mine Action Center in Asmara also conducted mine risk education briefings for 334 members of the Indian Battalion, which is part of ANMI's peacekeeping force. With that demining update, we have come to the end of our program. Please join us again next week at the same time to hear how students attending ANMI's human rights lectures in Mekele, Ethiopia are faring on. Until then, it's goodbye from all of us. Thank Thank you for listening to Radio Anmi's program.
Send us your views and comments to Stella Vuzo, Anmi Radio Program, Post Office Box 5805, Asmara, Eritrea, or to Adane Kudina, Post Office Box 1357, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
You can also email us at vuzo@un.org or kudina@un.org.